welcome to the Ted Brower and Austin Brower Show. This is your host, Austin Brower, and I have Ted Brower with us today, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And this is Austin Brower, and I'm glad to have you with us today. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm absolutely blessed. We're staying here on points, if you can believe that, at the St. Regis in Rome, and we're reporting live from Rome. I got a whole bunch of information to tell you about what's going on in Rome right now. And so this St. Regis is beautiful, especially when you get to stay here for free when you do it on Starwood Points. And I just, when I told the management, I said, you know what, guys, I'm going to talk about you guys. They upgraded me to a real nice room, and I told them I was going to do a talk show tonight, you know, globally, and I was going to promote their hotel. So if you guys aren't yet a member of, and by the way, this is not a Starwood commercial, though it's going to sound like one. I'm not getting paid by Starwood to do this. They're probably the best hotel chain in the world today. And when you get to use your credit card and buy things and get points saved up and get to stay in really nice rooms in really fancy cities like this, like Rome, you know, and the rooms are free, it's just kind of a blessing. It really is. I love stuff like this, and I just hope and pray that you guys can hopefully experience it someday yourself. But this is interesting. It's under lockdown.
Hold on, bud. I can't hear. Your phone's breaking up.
Okay. Tell me when I'm back.
Oh, I hear you now.
I'm back.
Yep.
Okay. This is a city that's on lockdown. It's unbelievable. There are basically Humvees, but they're not Humvees. It's their version of the Italian military, parked on the corners. We've got military personnel standing on corners with automatic. We've got metal detectors to get into the Roman ruins. This is a city that's on lockdown. And it's awful because the last time I was here with you so many years ago, it wasn't like this. I mean, we used to walk all around. Remember the old ancient ruins in Rome where walk through that whole... That's all under security lockdown. You have to go through metal detectors, Austin, to get in there. They fenced off the entire area, and it's all metal detectors. And you have to go through metal detectors to get in. I mean, this is nuts. I guess they're taking this Operation Gladio, which they should, because what they did to Italy back in the 60s and the 70s, they're taking this serious for terrorist attacks. It's unbelievable, the homeless on the street. It's sad because the entire city, of course, has always been, it's old, and so it's always been in disrepair, but it's getting worse and worse. The autostrada in Italy, that's toll roads, are excellent. I have no complaints about them whatsoever. They're excellent. They're great. They've got speed cameras everywhere, so they get more revenue from them. I think I tripped a few of those today, but that's okay. I found out today that the little Garmin thing that I have on the car basically tells me when I have speed cameras coming up. So when it beeps a real funny beep, and you slow down. Wish I'd have known that a week ago when I got here. I got a feeling I'll be getting some tickets in the mail, but at least there's no points, and that's always nice when they want to extract their blood from you from the insurance companies also. But the city's just a mess. Italy is a mess. We talked about it the other night when I broadcast live to you guys from another Starwood property in Venice, and it's just a really, really sad situation to see a country as beautiful, especially the areas through the hill country of Italy, just in such disrepair. There's potholes everywhere. I'm talking about enough to shake out a suspension on the car, bottoming out the suspension, hitting them, they're 8-10 inches deep. I mean, I'm talking major highways now with potholes that deep. You know, when you get off the toll roads. So Italy's in trouble. They said that Greece fell first, Italy's probably next to fall, then Spain, and that they simply can't maintain their infrastructure. They can't maintain their tax base. I've spoken to the guy who was, you know, took us to the room, you know, helped bring our bags up. And he said basically that, you know, the entire country is falling apart because there's close to a 40% unemployment rate, which we talked about the other night, and that the cheap people are coming in from Northern Africa and basically coming in through Sicily, and they're basically invading Italy. And of course, these are primarily Muslims and from Africa. And that the entire economy is in shambles here in Rome too. We were going to drive down to Naples tomorrow, and we've been told now by approximately 20 people, don't go to Naples. Mom's covered that last night on the show, and they said that you can't wear a watch there. I mean, you can't keep your wallet with you. You've got to have, they steal the cars. They everything. It's just awful. They take your stuff off of you, take everything off of you, wallet, money, take your car, leave you standing on the side of the road, just standing there. No passports, nothing. So we're going to pass on Naples. That one guy said it was more like the Cartagena Colombian cartel combined with the gangs of Mexico City when you get to Naples. And so that was enough of that for me. So I guess me and Naples are... at Starwood had a hotel down there. They've gotten rid of it. I think I understand why. They probably didn't want to, you know, endanger their people coming to the hotels in that type of environment. So this is what happens when infrastructure and money starts to deteriorate. The people here are having a very difficult time in even paying for food now. We discussed that the other night. And it's horrible what's happened when they lost the lira, when the international banking community has come in here and has loaned all this money to Italy and has basically raped the country. Raped it. I mean sincerely mean they've raped it, they've sodomized it, whatever you want to call it. They have abused this country, what they've done to these people. And the sad part about it is that the people here are really nice. The Italians that you get to meet that aren't foreigners are really, really, really nice. And they don't know what to do. And again, I'm hearing Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. You've got to have Donald Trump. We wish we had Donald Trump. I'm hearing that again here also. So it's interesting to me that I'm in this situation with boots on the ground, reporting live now from Rome. And so it's just crazy to me that this is this bad in Rome, so bad, Austin, that the majority of the people here have written off the entire southern part of the country from here down. Because Naples is about 250 kilometers, which is about 150 miles south, and everybody's scared to go there. I mean, how awful is that? It'd be like saying to us, you know, you can't go past Sebring. Otherwise, you don't know what's going to happen to you past Sebring in Florida where we live. It's absolutely, it's sad. It's absolutely sad.
It is. It is. And I can honestly say with the massive influx of immigration that South Florida has seen in Miami, from coming up from South America, and a lot of the drug cartels that have moved in there, and a lot of the dope pushers and the violent, violent people that they incite down there, the only reason why it's still safe to go to Miami and still even conduct business down there, go on vacation, is because the wonderful state of Florida still has a very, very open policy on firearm carrying on your person and in your vehicle, and we still have the Second Amendment overall that allows us to basically engage in that. And if we didn't have that in this country, I guarantee you Miami would be the exact same way that Naples was over there. Because if I'm not mistaken, Italy is fairly disarmed. Am I right on that?
Pretty much, except for the guys running around with Beretta machine guns. So, I walked up to the guy with the Beretta. I mean full blown, body armor. I mean that level 3 metal stuff, you know. And he's wearing level 3 body armor, Beretta machine guns. He didn't have the helmet on. And I asked him if I could take a picture of him. He said, absolutely not. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't have asked. You know, I should have just taken the picture. And of course, I guess you could haul me off somewhere. But I got a picture of the MRAP that they're using, their version of the MRAP. I got a picture of that. It even has a snorkel on it. I don't know what the world they're looking for with a snorkel. But, I mean, good Lord. I mean, and the thing's got, you know, it's got bulletproof windows in it and everything else. And then the police are on the street corner. This police guy is standing up. He's sitting in this booth. It's like the size of a phone booth. And he's sitting up about 8 feet in the air. And it's got like 3-inch plexiglass on it. I mean, he's watching everybody walk down the streets in his plexiglass.
Wow.
And I walked up to him, and there's little stairs walk up there, and I tried to knock on his door, you know me, and you know, as long as you smile, you can pretty much get away with anything, I guess, but hopefully not get shot. And I walked up to his door, and he goes, no, you must come to the little slot. So there's a little slot, a little 3-inch slot that, you know, like you get in a bank teller. And so I opened the little slot, and I said, do you feel safe in there? I really said that. Oh, God, he got mad. And he starts yelling something at me. And I said, I'm just kidding you, man. I'm just kidding you. I just thought it was kind of crazy. You got all this plexiglass. You're all wrapped in plexiglass. And, I mean, because we're all out on the street. And he's in there wrapped up in plexiglass. God, I should have taken a picture of that. So, yeah, we got a city under lockdown, dude. We have a city under lockdown. We got to have metal detectors now to go through the Roman ruins. What in the world are they planning on doing? What are they? They're already ruins. If they blow them up, there's nothing to blow up, for heaven's sakes. It's crazy. I mean, the whole area that you and I walked through about, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that we could just walk through the old ancient Rome. It's all fenced off with like 10-foot fencing now. It's wrought iron fencing all the way around it. And you've got to walk through security and metal detectors, and you have to empty your pockets just to go into the Roman ruins. I mean, I have no idea what all that's about. I guess they're that scared of a terrorist attack in those areas, which would further impact tourism, I guess, Austin. I don't know, buddy. But the traffic here, the people still drive like maniacs. And I've learned now, you stop about 15 feet from the red lights where the red line is, and that way the 400 mopeds and motorcycles that squeeze in front of you don't hit your car, and they all pile in there. And the first thing I did is I put the car in the parking garage, and I said, the heck with this, man. I don't need to deal with any damages to this car. And so I put it in the parking garage, and I told them, I said, forget it. We'll take a $5 taxi all over town and be done with it. So tomorrow we're going to the belly of the beast. We're going to the Vatican. We're going to go to the bank, you know, the Vatican bank in the area of the Vatican Square. I'm going to get video pictures of the obelisk. We'll post them on the website. There's a huge obelisk, which is the erect phallic symbol of Osiris. I can do a whole show on that if you guys would like. I've talked about it before. It deals all back with the Egyptian mythology. And this obelisk from Egypt is in Vatican Square. I'm going to get pictures of it tomorrow. I'm also going to get pictures of the pineapples they have there that represent the pineal gland. All of this stuff is in Vatican Square, so we're going there tomorrow. The thing you have to remember, though, if you ever do go to Vatican, you can't wear shorts. You remember the last time we were there, Austin? We were there with you and me and Mom and Gene Dawes, who was best man in our wedding, and Gene was single at the time. And I remember I tried to walk into St. Peter's Cathedral wearing shorts. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't do it. And so this is a funny story, guys. This is 10, 15 years ago. So the hotel was way on the other side of the city. I thought, this is ridiculous. So they told me at the front gate, they said, well, there's a homeless shelter down there that you can go get a pair of pants from them. And I'm like, you've got to be joking me. And I said, well, it beats running all the way back to the other side of town and taking a 30-minute taxi drive. So I went inside and got these stupid pants. You know, you remember this. And I pulled over my pants, and they were wool. And, oh, my gosh, did they itch. So I'm scratching trying to walk up the stairs in St. Peter's Cathedral and drop a 35-millimeter camera on the stairs and smash it. I couldn't believe it. The camera was done for the rest of the trip. It was shot. I couldn't believe all that happened over a pair of pants. So tomorrow I am wearing long pants. And the only thing I do wish I could have, I wish I had a drone that I could fly up, you know, pretty high, takes a video of, but I'm sure they don't want you flying a drone over St. Peter's. But if I had your brother with me, I would still have he's got a little drone. I'd have him fly it up and do some video. But it's been an interesting trip so far. It's just been completely and totally wild here in this crazy city. And it's just it's absolutely amazing to me. What's your first story of the night, Austin?
Well, first thing I wanted to address and see, Sue, what your take on it. What do you think about Cruz and Kasich dropping out, pretty much leaving Trump the opening?
Okay, I have no idea this has happened. I have not looked at my. I was driving all day.
Oh, what? Yeah. Well, no. Cruz announced that he is dropping out of the race, and now Kasich has announced this afternoon he is dropping out. They pretty much have essentially made Donald Trump the Republican unofficial nominee so far. He's on his own for the rest of the states. Both of them have dropped out.
Are there enough delegates left in the rest of the states for him to secure the nomination?
Oh yeah. With California and a couple of the big ones, he would still be significantly over, I think, by 100 plus delegates. And if that's if he gets all of them, even if he doesn't get all of them, he will still be right around that number. My thing, though, is I kind of feel like maybe there's something else going on. Maybe
no, there's something else
something.
Going on.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I thought, too. The convention, they may be trying to pull some old, you know, 1800s legislation act out of a hat. You know, they say, well, this is some law that was passed back then that we can do this and we can do that. You know how they like to pull all that stuff up. But I had a feeling today that there's something else going on.
This reeks of a shady backroom deal.
Yeah.
It reeks of a shady backroom deal. I mean,
yeah,
I don't even.
The thing about it is, even if, depending on what Trump did, if Cruz really did take off in a couple of the big states, and Kasich did too, especially something like California, it was still possible to at least prevent Trump from getting enough delegates to get nominated. But at this point now, they've pretty much essentially handed it to him. Unless, like I said, they do something at the convention, which I'm afraid that's what they're setting up for now because they know that's their last option.
Well, with the anti-Jewish Defamation League basically calling him an anti-Semite the other night, which is the last show I did with you guys,
And, you know, with everything that's going on, this is really strange, dude. This is really, really strange. I mean, Trump's supporters must be completely elated right now, but wondering what the heck just happened. I mean, because Cruz has been screaming and squawking with that giant flap trap of his for the last 3 or 4 or 5 months about how much he hates Donald, how he'll never drop out and blah, blah, blah. So suddenly he decides to drop out. Somebody told Cruz to drop out, Austin.
That's what I'm thinking, too, because, I mean, Donald's at over 1,053 after Indiana yesterday. So, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, there was no chance that Cruz was going to win with delegates. That wasn't possible. That was long gone. But that's the same thing I thought. I think somebody told him to go ahead and pull out and drop, and they had something else planned on this, so they're going to try something else. But I don't know. That's what I was going to get your take. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I didn't know you had checked your email.
Well,
yet.
No. Gosh, I've been driving all day. I mean, so we checked into the hotel, and I felt pretty good. And I told Sharon, I said they actually brought us this. I shouldn't even confess to this. They brought us some hot chocolate up to the room. It's like kind of like a gift. And I thought, so I drank some of it. So I got all geeked up on the hot chocolate. So what was little left of my adrenals, I'm jumping up and down on my top, my adrenals with hot chocolate out, pushing some more adrenaline out. So yeah. So anyhow, so that's just, that whole thing's crazy. Unless there's no way the Rothschild banking cartel is going to capitulate like this. And I hope and I pray that Donald Trump hasn't made a deal.
Yeah.
I hope he hasn't. I hope he hasn't made a deal. I hope Donald Trump has said, look, I'm not going to go after the TPP. I'm not going to go after this. I'm not going to go after that. I'm not going to audit the Fed. I'm not going to do anything I said I'm going to do. I'm just going to go ahead and be the president and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to build a wall anymore. I mean, you know, I don't know. But good. At least I want to watch some of the debates between him and the Wicked Witch of Washington. I mean, I want to see that. I want to see what it'll do to her if he's going to lay down and capitulate with that. Wow.
No, that's the same thing I thought. I don't know. I mean, he's pretty stubborn to make a deal. I don't know. It's possible, but the other thing that I brought up on the show a couple days ago, if you heard it, is that what they may be doing now is, as fragile as the economy is and our entire monetary system has gotten now, and especially with the petrodollar on its last leg and China trying to come up with a gold-backed currency, they could decide that they're going to allow Donald to run and basically make it in and then allow him to be the scapegoat to collapse the economy, so that way they could put everything on him and say, well, you know, we can't give out food stamps now, we can't do this, we can't do that, everything's collapsed because Donald did this and Donald did that, and that way but a large percentage of the population that was against Donald will obviously know that, you know, hey, that was Donald, and put the blame on him. But I don't know, this is all pure speculation to me. I just found it interesting today.
Well, you know, Jesus in the book of Revelation, you know, and John, when he's writing on the Isle of Patmos, you know, when he had his revelation and he was writing what Jesus had told him, you know, what was interesting is he called them the synagogue of Satan, the Luciferians. Yep. That's who they are, the Luciferians, the ones who basically worship Lucifer, who masquerades, they may masquerade as Jews, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. And, you know, so if you can't call it out any more than that. I mean, you just really can't call it out anymore because they're Luciferians. That's why I always tell people, you can't call these guys that are doing all of this stuff the part of the Jewish race or religion, because they're not. They worship Lucifer. So they've got something really bad up their sleeve. So this to me is a surprise, but it's not a surprise that if you think that they've really got something horrible planned or cooked up for the rest of us in some kind of mess that they've got going on. You know what I'm saying? They could be a, God, I hope they're not going to bring us to war and not even have an election. That's what I hope they don't do. I hope they don't take us to war. I mean, that's the guy I was talking to yesterday. When we were at the Starwood property, in Florence, which was great. I mean, all my hotels pretty much are free on this trip, and which is really nice. And we were staying at the Starwood property in Florence, and he told me, he said, the biggest problem they have right now, and they're all scared for in Italy, is going to World War. And because, you know, they haven't had a war on the continent here now since 45. And so that's 55 and 15, that's 70 years. And no better way to depopulate the planet than war, and so, or your pestilence, or germ warfare, or bio warfare, or something else. So yes, so this whole thing with Trump not being challenged at this point, it kind of blows my mind. I mean, unless they were going to release some stuff on him, buddy. Unless they were going to release some stuff on him, you know, with all these supposed affairs that he's had, and he realized that they were going to release this stuff if he didn't drop out, and he just decided to pull the pins. That's the only other way I could the only way if Trump's people finally got enough dirt on the guy and said, okay, look, if you want to ruin your life, the rest of your life. Remember when what Joanne Allen Root said when he was on the show a few months ago. He said what they do, they get them up in Washington, and they whatever they find out what their weaknesses are, they indulge them in their weaknesses, whether it's pedophilia, whether it's prostitution, whether it's these $5,000 a night call girls, whatever they want. If they just whatever they want, they do it, and they videotape them, and they get pictures of them, and they entrap them, and they have people that'll testify along with the video evidence or whatever that they're like this, and then they give them an option. Look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put this on the National Enquirer to make the evening news tonight, all these pictures of you and these prostitutes and you and these little kids or whatever we want to do to you, and you're going to have your life ruined. You're going to be horrible the rest of your life. Everybody's going to hate you and going to spit when they see you. Or every once in a while, we're going to ask you to vote a certain way. Not all the time, but every once in a while, a certain way. And you're going to have this great life. You're going to have this huge pension the rest of your life. You'll always have been a United States senator or the United States congressman. And so you're going to have this incredible life, and your family's going to stay intact, and everything's going to be great. Or we're going to make you turn you into a cesspool. And you're going to be a horrible, horrible life for the rest of your life. Which one would you like? Choose A or B now. You know, and see, and this is the problem. And see, and you know, and Trump may have gotten enough stuff on Cruz, who's as filthy and as slimy as a wet sewer rat. You know, I mean, God, I mean, even Boner, the old guy, he said, well, he was cussing about him, how much he hated him. And so, you know, apparently nobody likes this guy. And so he's got a lot of enemies in Washington. So I hope that's what this is. And I really hope that we never have to see Ted Cruz run again for president of the United States. But dear Lord Jesus, help us. I pray that Hillary Clinton doesn't get in. Oh my gosh, I pray Hillary doesn't get in, because that could be the big fix too, Austin. They want Hillary to go in, let Trump run, they'll fix the election and be done with it.
Yeah.
That could be the fix too. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead.
You got another news now. This is interesting. A new study was done by Duke University Medical Center, and they actually tested Zoloft and exercise against one another and found that exercise was actually more effective at reducing symptoms of depression than Zoloft was, and actually found to keep depression symptoms from returning more effectively. Surprise, surprise. Imagine that. And what's interesting about this is they went back and forth as far as those in the Duke study had major depressive disorders that were characterized by feelings of guilt, loss of pleasure in life for 2 weeks or more. The symptoms range from mild to moderate. After 4 months, around 60% of those who exercise either had no longer had depression symptoms or vastly improved, which is interesting because we've talked about this before, guys. Not only is, you know, really good supplements, really good diet, you know, keeping your health together with like the B vitamins, the omega-3s, that's really important. That's a huge aspect. But just being active and getting out and doing stuff is one of the most simplest, and it's free, guys. You don't have to have a gym membership to work out. I mean, you can do exercise at the house. You can do pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups. You can do, you know, walk quickly. But it's interesting because they said the exercise had little to no side effects, whereas most of the side effects with the Zoloft, they had all kinds of different ones that you guys know about, from nausea, diarrhea, abdominal pain, thoughts of suicide, vomiting, headaches, anorexia, decreased libido, dizziness, tremor, fatigue. That's just a few of them that I'm reading off right now. And yet exercise had little to none at all. And so that's what they were saying, is that it's so easy to fix issues with depression just with exercise. And again, they don't mention supplements in here because this is a key study between the two. But just basic exercise and throwing in some good omega-3 fatty acids and B vitamins do wonders at getting the mood elevated and gets you in your mind in the correct mental state. So I thought I wanted to address that today because I thought that Duke study was pretty interesting, how simple it is to get your mood and your mind back on track, you know, just easy as that, just exercising 4 to 5 days a week.
Well, you know, a study was done a few years ago too, Austin. It showed specifically that omega-3 oils was better at treating mild to moderate forms of depression than Prozac.
Yeah.
I mean, does this stuff do anything for anybody? I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, you know, it's just this stuff just seems to be just a joke. And you know, and the sad part about it is that, you know, people think this stuff's, you know, the cure-all for everything, and it's not. It's absolutely horrible stuff. And it's super addicted. We found out that the Xanax product, that you get on that stuff, you make you commit suicide or you die from it, going to seizures from it. So, I mean, so there's all kinds of problems with all of this stuff that people don't want to talk about. And sadly, it's just, you know, we've got to realize that, you know, these drug manufacturers, these corporations, They're out there doing all of this stuff on purpose, doing everything they possibly can to poison as many people as they possibly can for the sake of profits. I mean, you know, and again, it comes back to the international banking cartels that are doing this. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, really sad. This stuff going on, and it's okay with everybody. And so I really don't know what to say about it, to be honest with you, other than that. It's just that, you know, I know this. We have a supplement stack for healthy brain chemistry is what we call it. I mean, we can't talk about treating depression and all that kind of stuff. We don't do that. But we have a supplement stack for treating healthy brain chemistry. And, I mean, it's absolutely amazing at what this stuff does. It makes you feel so good, and you have so much energy. And it's just an amazing, amazing stack. And I remember we've had multiple people come in. They were all kind of issues, you know, because they're rock. They were starting the supplement stack and feel great. I know me, every once in a while, if I get a little bit down or whatever, which happens very, very rarely with me because I'm pretty much up all the time, I basically go in and I just, you know, I take 5-HTP, the cod liver oil. I load up on B vitamins. And I tell you what, it doesn't take 2 hours, and my whole energy levels are doing great again. So it's just kind of cool how it all works. So I don't know, buddy, what do you think about all that? I mean, just the whole thing about it is just, you know, where do you get from there? I mean, how do you take a study that says exercise will do better for you than psychotropic drugs and make people believe it, Austin? How do you do that? How do you make people believe that, son?
I don't know. And, you know, that's one of the key things that we try to do at Health Masters is we try to help people believe it and understand that and give them the raw information to make their own decision. And that's really what we try to do here. That's why when you guys call us up, you know, we'll give you the information. But if you guys want to be argumentative, if you don't want to listen, if you don't want to, you know, try and help yourself and all you want to do is call us up to argue about why you don't want to do it, there's nothing we can do for you. And that's one of the biggest aspects is the right frame of mind. You know, in order to progress, in order to go further, in order to, you know, push yourself in a better direction, you have to get the right frame of mind first. You can't be in that woe is me, I'm so sad, I'm a victim, I feel horrible mentality, and expect anything to change. You have to be ready to change, you have to be willing to change, and you have to want to do stuff and be just ready to make it happen. And that's the biggest aspect that I think I can portray to most people, is that you're the biggest one that can make it happen. We'll give you the supplements, we'll give you the information, but, you know, and that's why we tell people on the phone, we don't really give out third-party information anymore. Because if we have somebody that calls up for their brother, sister that's having an issue, you know, we don't really give out information anymore. We simply tell them, hey, have them give us a call, because right now, if they don't care enough about it to give us a call and they're having you call on their behalf, they probably aren't that interested in it. So, but anyways, this is interesting from yesterday. I didn't get to touch it yet. Edward Snowden now, the NSA whistleblower, whether you guys hate him, whether you guys like him, mixed emotions about all that now. He's released a drone report that came out, I guess, last year from the U.S. government, and the U.S. government now said they will be using solar-powered drones that will stay in the air for weeks, tracking the movements of just not of individuals, but whole population. He said making drones more persistent is a capability which the U.S. has been pursuing forever, Snowden wrote. He said the goal is to deploy solar-powered drones that can loiter in the air for weeks without coming down. Once you can do that and you put any typical signal collection device on the bottom of the monitor, unblinkingly, the emissions and, for the example, the different network addresses of every laptop, smartphone, iPod, you know just where a particular device is in, what city, but you know what apartment each device lives in, where it goes at any particular time, and by what route. This is just further into the police state. As you're talking about, you know, the blatant police state you guys are seeing over there in Rome, this is the, you know, under the cover stuff that our government is doing now. And I mean, this is insane. The fact that they're going to deploy solar powered drones to float around and monitor people and then actually start monitoring laptops, iPhones, smart pads, and collect all this data. Again, this goes back to that giant NSA facility out in Utah. They want to compile data on everybody. They're not just happy knowing what your consumer behavior is, what you're buying, what you're doing here, when you buy a movie ticket here. They want to know every single aspect of what you do, when you do it, so they can compile full and total profile on you. This is egregious to me. The fact that NSA can even get away with this without a search warrant is crazy, but I guess Remember, they came out with that law a couple of years ago stating that as long as a drone did not go, I think, below like 300 feet or 200 feet, it was not encroaching on your private property, and you did not have the right to discharge a weapon, even in a lawful manner, to shoot it down, because that got brought up with the whole drones a couple of years ago. Remember, people were getting mad because people were flying drones over people's houses. And one guy went out and shot the drone, shot it twice, Glock pistol, which obviously you have to be careful releasing a caliber like that into the air, knocked the drone down, ended up getting sued and arrested over it. So these drones are a really hairy area. I have real mixed emotions about them. But now the fact that the government is blatantly saying they're going to use them to fly around for weeks on end and monitor the entire population, I have a really big issue with that.
Well, you're absolutely right. To go back to your topic you were talking about earlier, years ago, we had a lady, her name was Cher. I kid you not, her name was Cher. And she was really a nice lady. And this is back when I had the clinic set up back in, back in the 80s, early 90s. And I remember, Cher, we helped her lose like 70, 80 pounds. And she felt so bad when she came in to see us. And she changed her diet. She changed her exercise regime. She started taking her supplements. And she had just tremendous results. I mean, just phenomenal. Her energy went through the roof. She was a hairdresser by trade. And she couldn't believe it. She was so excited, Austin. And finally, she had another hairdresser who was working for her. And I think I charged, $300 or $400 to come in to see the office. You know, that was without supplements, just my consultation fee back then when I was still doing all this. Now I don't, I let my license lapse, so I don't do that anymore. So I just basically, talk on the radio because it's been so many years I couldn't do everything. And what happened is, I'll never forget, she brought her friend in about a year after she had lost all this weight. She was doing great. And her friend came to our office, and she sat at the desk with me. And Cher, first thing Cher did, she wrote a check out and gave it to me. I said, well, thanks, Cher. I appreciate that. And I'll never forget, her friend Cher was paying for her friend. And her friend did not want to listen to anything I had to say. And her friend was unbelievably sick. And finally, I asked her, she filled out a diet analysis form, which talked about what she ate. Her two primary things that she ate, Austin, were grapefruit and milk. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I don't even know how it didn't sour the milk. And that's pretty much all she ate. And I said to her, I forgot her name. It may have been Jeannie. I don't remember. And I said, Jeannie, first of all, we've really got to change your diet. We've got to start getting you, your body's pretty weak. We've got to get you on like a mono-food diet. You have to like eat vegetables one meal, or protein one meal, or fruit one meal. And we have to make it easier for your body to digest this. But we can't be mixing this fruit and milk together anymore. And she got mad at me and started yelling at me. Now, this is in front of Cher. Now, Cher was sitting in there with us. Her friend wanted Cher to stay in there with us. And I looked at her and I said, why are you yelling at me? She goes, well, I'm not going to listen to you. And I said, well, Cher is paying me to talk to you. And she goes, well, Cher's paying for it, but that means I have to listen. And I think I've told you the story before. And so I took the check and I tore it in half and I handed it back to Cher. And she goes, well, what's wrong, Ted? And I said, well, I'll be honest with you, Cher, I can't help her. And I said, I'm not going to charge you. I said, it's nonsense. I said, I can't do that. I said, I can't charge you a fee and not help her because you're paying this and you're a hairdresser. And I know this is a lot of money to you. And it's a lot of money to me. I said, but I'm not going to be in a situation where I take your money for someone who refuses to listen. Again, it goes back to the second and third party consultations. And what ends up happening is, guys, listen to me for a second, please. Read my articles that I write on my website about all the different health products that you could take to make sure you stay healthy. There's so many different topics we talk about. And realize that, you can really, really make a huge dent in health issues by changing your diet and changing your lifestyle, like the exercise that Austin talked about earlier, as far as combating the mild to moderate forms of depression. So just try something, do something. But what you don't want to do is sit around on the couch every day and doing nothing. That's not it. I work out 6 days a week. I'm 60 years old, feel absolutely great. Energy levels through the roof, especially when they geek me up on hot chocolate. And so, good night, sleepy night. Here's an interesting article I want to pull up. 20 tasings in 30 minutes. No charges for Virginia police officers over man's death in handcuffs. This is from Russia Today. Prosecutors of Virginia will not charge police officers, of course they won't, why would they ever do that, in South Boston for their part in the death of a man who was shot with a taser 20 times in 30 minutes while handcuffed in police custody, according to a new report. Linwood Lamper was pronounced dead about an hour after he was taken into police custody in South Boston, Virginia, on May the 4th, 2013, following reports of a noise disturbance at a motel. Police decided to take Lambert, who had later admitted he had used cocaine, to a nearby hospital, telling him they were not taking him to jail. When Lambert became agitated and ran out of the police squad car toward the hospital, police subsequently tased him repeatedly, despite his pleas for them to stop. Lambert died after about 87 seconds total of tasing by the officers, who acted in violation of the South Boston Police Department's guidelines for taser's use, given Lambert was handcuffed the entire time. Guys, cops, police officers, please listen to me. Don't do stuff like this. You know, we're people. You got a gun. You got handcuffs. You can shoot people. You can hit them with tasers. Don't treat people like this. I mean, we're all human beings out here. Now, I don't know who this guy was, and he obviously was using cocaine. He was probably geeked up, but he was handcuffed. He didn't have to get tased 20 times in 30 minutes. Are you joking me? You know, nobody's heart can take that. And now these guys are not even being charged after he pleaded with them repeatedly for them to stop tasing him? Unbelievable. I don't even know what to say, Austin. What do you have to say about that whole thing?
Well, no, it is pretty egregious, and that's the topic we talk about numerous times, about making police officers more responsible for their actions. You know, a large percent of the police officers are really awesome, but when you get some to do stuff like this, you know, it really makes everybody question, you know, the entire loyalty and the motto of the police department when they act like this, and then when nothing happens after. When they're just given basically a, you know, get out of jail free card, don't worry about it, you know, don't, you probably shouldn't do that again. It's just sad. It's really sad. I mean, that's something I really hope people over there in his town really make a fuss about. This. This is one of those protest ones. You know, getting tased that many times when you're handcuffed is completely unnecessary. You can only be so unruly with your handcuffs behind your back.
What can you do?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can only be so unruly. I mean, there's only a certain level of things you can do with your handcuff behind your back. You just can't do that much. The first time you get tasered, I'm sure he hit the ground. Because those things, I've seen what they do to people online. They knock you out as soon as you get hit with them.
Well, the crazy thing, he may have been geeked up on cocaine. He may have been having heart pains. We had a friend of ours, a really good friend, one of my dear friends, lifelong friends, his son got really heavily involved in cocaine years ago, and he kind of started constantly complaining about having heart problems and, you know, and heart pains, and kept getting himself admitted into the hospital. I mean, you know, guys, listen to me. Cocaine's a very strong stimulant. It can blow out your heart. I mean, look at Sharon, my wife's brother, her half-brother, you know, from a different mother. He basically took heroin.
It was speedball. He was doing heroin and cocaine, injecting it, yeah.
About a year ago now, and just boom, heart blew out right then on the spot. 30, 35, 36, 37 years old, done, dead. I mean, merit scholarship recipient, 150 IQ. I mean, the guy was brilliant. Dead, you know, in his 30s. You know, left his father, who only had one son and one child with his current wife, just completely and totally just mentally just devastated from this. I mean, cocaine and these drugs that people take on an ongoing basis, they're extremely dangerous, and I really recommend that you don't do any illegal drugs at all, because it's just not worth it. God, if you want to get geeked up, go. I can't believe I'm gonna say this. If your heart can handle it, drink a Red Bull. I mean, but don't be doing that, even doing that kind of stuff on a regular basis, because it's really bad for your heart. But I mean, I've never had a Red Bull. But, you know, I will take a purple stick, but we're out of stock on those still, right, Austin?
Yeah.
I don't want
Unfortunately,
to
we are.
They were supposed to be here like last week, but they're not. So, yeah, here's an interesting article from Zero Hedge. This is Hillary the Hun. Zero Hedge. On the campaign trail, Hillary Clinton said with a smile, "We're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business." Okay. West Virginia Bo Copley, a 39-year-old father, recently lost his job, reminding Hillary, as he fought back tears, that not everybody lives in a world that's rainbows and Skittles. When you make comments like, "We're going to put a lot of coal miners out of jobs," these are the kind of people that you're affecting. This is my family. I just want to know how you can say you're going to put coal miners out of jobs and then come here and tell us you're going to be our friend. Hillary's response, I don't know how to explain it, and then blamed him for somehow taking her exact words out of context. Ah, this woman's a nightmare. She's a wench, a wicked wench. And you know, she's a wicked witchy wench. You know, like Doc Marquis said, she's a level 4 witch. I mean, gosh, and you know, now they're saying she's having to take all these breaks on the campaign trail, 30-40 minute bathroom breaks, so she refuses to use a public toilet, or that she's drinking too much, or whatever. I decided the drunken parties in the White House were legendary. Remember when Bill Clinton fell down and hurt his knee when he was in the White House because he was drunk? I mean, this is what they want to put back in the White House. We've already got the supposedly these weirdo parties going on in the White House now with Barack Obama and his wife. But who knows? I don't know. What's your next story? That's enough of that, Austin.
Well, this is an interesting one now too. Remember I brought up a couple weeks ago how that independent company, St. Louis Laboratories, tested a bunch of different foods, and they all tested with alarming rates of glyphosate. Quaker Oats, who is owned by PepsiCo, is now being sued over its all-natural oats containing high levels of glyphosate. And I talked about it. It was like, I don't have the other article in front of me, but I think it was like 1,200 roughly parts per million, or parts per billion as far as glyphosate that it tested on here. And what's interesting about it is now oats, when I talked about before, are not genetically engineered crops, but glyphosate is increasingly more and more and more being used as a desiccant to dry out crops to speed up harvesting. That's why we're seeing so much food that's not even GMO that's massively contaminated with glyphosate. And this is exactly why that Monsanto lobbied the EPA, what I think two years ago or 1 year ago now, to raise the safe standards of glyphosate. They more than doubled how much glyphosate could be in food, like batch food, like food that's actually ready to be packaged. It made it safe for usage because more and more and more food is getting used with glyphosate on it. And what's so crazy is apparently the Quaker Oats company, the staff there is just completely oblivious to what's going on. They said in an article that they basically, you can wash off the glyphosate even though it's already on the oats. It doesn't matter.
No, you can't. You cannot. It does not. It absorbs right into the doggone husk. You can't do that. It's like, no, I'm sorry. I should have interrupted you. Go ahead, Austin. You can't.
No, you're fine. Well, the New York Times did a huge smear piece on the company that's trying, the company that's suing Quaker Oats now, because they're saying that it was not that significant of a level, and the company said it puts the oats through a cleansing process, and any level of glyphosate that may remain are trace amounts and significantly below any limits which are set by the EPA as safe for human consumption. That's bull dunk is what that is. That's straight nonsense. So, there's no way you can rinse that stuff off like Dad just said.
Yeah, you know, it absorbs. It's like pesticides get absorbed into broccoli and gets absorbed into apples and gets absorbed into grapes. You can't get it off. It goes into the wine. And that's why you pick up all this pesticide residue now in wines because of that. You can't get that stuff out. That's why you have to eat organic. Here's another article from RT. It says, this is from Ron Paul. The current economic system is designed to fail, but so was socialism. That's according to former Congressman John Paul, who told RT's Boom Bust Show that we need to go towards a system of property ownership, okay, this is back before 1913, voluntary contracts and individual liberty while getting rid of central banks. A new Harvard University poll shows that 51% of young adults aged 18 to 29 oppose capitalism. Of course, I would too if I was in, but they don't understand it in its current form. Do you think this poll is in politics? Now, here, let me explain why they oppose capitalism. They don't understand what they're doing, number one. Capitalism is good if there are checks and balances in place and you don't allow corporations and fascism and socialism and all these different things to take over the corporations and take over the government, which is what's happened in the United States. It all started with the central banks taking over in 1913. And you guys have heard me talk about this to nauseam, okay? So this is just for new listeners. When the central bank took over the money supply and started loaning us our money at interest, the system is designed to fail because the interest is never printed. So if somebody loans you $100 billion and now you've got to pay back $10 billion in interest along with the principal, but they never printed the $10 billion in interest. The $10 billion can't be paid back. It doesn't exist. It was never put back into circulation. That's a system. That's a Ponzi scheme. That's what we have with the central banks. And what they do, they end up printing money, getting deeper and deeper and deeper the country into debt. So finally, the banks own everything. They own the cars, they own the houses, they own the land, they own the banks, they own the corporations, they own the Fortune 500. They own everything. This is what they do. This is what this synagogue of Satan has done for centuries and centuries, and this is what they got called out for. That's why Jesus himself called them out and said, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money. Money's not bad. Okay, money allows me to put fuel in my car over here and drive it around. Money allows me to pay bills. Money allows me to pay for this talk show that we do every night. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. It's the greed. It's the greed of money, the avarice, never having enough money, never getting enough, just constantly wanting more and more and more and more and more money to the point of intentionally enslaving other people to get it when you already are worth hundreds of trillions of dollars like the Rothschilds are. It's not quadrillions. Because they own the central banks. They own all the money they've been printing. They own everything. We all the debts owed to them. So what's nuts about all of this, Austin, is it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money. I mean, money's just a tool. Money just makes you more of what you already are. If you're inclined to be a giver, you become a philanthropist if you get more money. If you're inclined to be a coke addict or use drugs, you get a lot of money, you win the lottery, you turn into a real doper, okay? If you're a Scrooge and you get a lot of money, you turn into a real Scrooge. All money is a magnifying glass. It makes you more of what you already are. That's all it does. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you worse. It just makes you more. It magnifies the personality. And people need to understand that. That's why the love of money, that's different. That's the root of all evil. That shows the avarice and the greed. Guys, it's not about avarice and the greed. That's why on our talk shows, you know, we talk about health masters every once in a while. I think Mom said you guys forgot to even mention it last night till the end. We don't do that. I'm not turning this into an infomercial. I won't do it. By golly, I won't do it. I won't turn my show into an infomercial. I will not do it. I'm not going to be pushing product every 4 or 5 minutes. Oh, we're about to talk about this. I'm not going to do all that. God, you guys don't want to hear that. You got enough of that on GCN. It's awful. It's awful listening to GCN now. And there's some good hosts on GCN, but some of them have got themselves in such a mess financially, all they've got is push product all the time, and you don't even get a talk show out of them. So I'm not going to do that. I refuse to, Austin. I'm absolutely going to do it. So anyway, so Ron Paul's absolutely right. Gosh, I wish that man would have become president. He probably could have straightened some of this mess out. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, it's interesting. The one thing that a lot of people are not talking about lately and that nobody's really talked about in the media is the serious issues we're having with these nuclear reactors around the country.
Right.
The one up there in Missouri now has a fire that's been burning outside of it for years now, and apparently the nuclear waste dump that's beside it the fire is now encroaching on it, and if it gets a hold of that, it's going to be a significant issue. One of the other problems that we're running into also is the one in Florida here, in Turkey Point, which I talked about a couple months ago. They found that it was leaking polluted water into the Miami-Dade County Biscayne Bay. The pollution is affecting the bay's surface waters and will likely have a damaging effect on the already fragile ecosystem. This pollutant is also said to be affecting the drinking water, as huge saltwater plumes coming from power plants have invaded the groundwater. Laura Reynolds, an environmental consultant that is working towards filing a lawsuit against the Turkey Power Plant, said that we know exactly where the pollution is coming from, and we have a tracer that shows us it's in the national park. We are worried about the marine life there and the future of Biscayne Bay. Then also, too, we have the one up in New York now. It's been leaking significantly since the beginning of the year. These are things that really need to be addressed, especially while the government's on their little spending escapade, like they like to just keep dumping more money on things that they don't need, that don't need to be fixed, that we don't need to support. They need to think about maybe putting some resources into getting these nuclear power plants buttoned back up properly, because this is not something that's going to be healthy for us, the environment, or even our generations to come if these things keep leaking out nuclear wastewater like this on an extended basis and we start having more and more of them do this. This is something that needs to get brought up. Nobody's bringing this up, and I don't know why.
No,
I really hope more people figure out what's going on with this.
It's terraforming, Austin. They're changing the entire planet. I mean, gosh, look at the stinking chemtrails. God, yeah. today we didn't have any chemtrails driving down here. I'm like, praise God, praise God, praise God. Get some pictures of blue skies. I mean, they're not like they used to be blue, but they're not bad here today. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I'm having to praise God for blue skies? This is crazy. Why am I praising God for blue skies? He gave us blue skies. We took it away. The CIA, with their cloverleaf, took it away. I mean, they're with their stupid spray tanks and all over the stuff they're doing. And so it's just crazy. This entire planet is being terraformed. It's being changed. They're infesting us with all this bacteria, with this Morgellons mess. And, you know, and when they hit it with the right blue frequency, it can actually start growing inside of your body, doing who knows what to you. I mean, this is just all nuts. See, that's why they don't care about the radiation, Austin. It's part of the terraform package, I guess. It's part of the population reduction, I guess. That's all I can figure out, because they know these plants are leaking. They know how dangerous this is, especially if the cesium gets out. They know this. They know how poisonous it'll be and what it'll do. But remember, these are the same clowns that took down the trade towers, you know, with whatever they did. I mean, I personally believe, here's what I believe. Now, this is my own opinion on the trade towers. You guys can believe what you want to believe, but this is my opinion. I believe they use thermite. I believe that, okay? But I also believe they not only use thermite, I believe they use, like Judy Wood said, some type of energy-based weapon, space platform weapon. I'm not saying who did it. I'm just saying that's how they were taken down. People were jumping out of these trade towers as if they were being microwaved, and they were screaming, and, you know, they were like, they were being burned alive, like the entire structure was, you know, in residence, like it was being cooked. And then all of a sudden they detonated, and then the thing exploded and it went to powder, and they pumped out just literally millions and millions of pounds of asbestos into the air. Now, we all know that that causes lung cancer. We know what asbestos does. Just like a gram of it will give you lung cancer. We know that. And they pumped this throughout all of Manhattan. And then all this stuff, this asbestos is floating through the air. And the government comes in. There's a big warning that it has asbestos in it. And the government says, oh, no, 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 no. It's safe to breathe. It's safe to breathe. So they let millions of people in Manhattan breathe. Now asbestos is safe to breathe. Now we've had all of these guys and these firefighters and so many of these rescue operation people from 2001. They've died of cancers. You know, they've had all kinds of health problems. Newsflash, asbestos is not safe to breathe. I mean, in case anybody was curious about that. It's not good for you, okay? It's bad, but it doesn't make a difference. The government, what's good is bad, what's bad is good, what's up is down. It's what the Bible says. Everything that you consider to be good will be turned upside down. This is what the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the synagogue of Satan, this is what they've done back in the 1700s with Sabbatean Levi. He said, turn it all upside down, and that's what they're doing. That's what they've done. They've turned it all upside down, and they started worshiping Lucifer, trying to make it so bad, I guess. But the whole thing about it is that, guys, greater is he that is in us than he who's in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're in covenant with the Most High God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Nothing can touch us. I mean, what are they going to do? Kill us? Okay, whatever. We get to be with God then anyhow. We get because we're in covenant with him. Whatever. We're going to die anyhow. I'm 60 years old. You know, I can't bench press 340 pounds anymore. My best years physically were behind me. Mentally, I'm still pretty sharp because I take a lot of supplements and I eat right. But the point is, I can't get into the gym like Austin does anymore and train like that. I used to. I loved it. I wish I could. Joints can't deal with it. Joints are doing great for a 60-year-old guy. I can still train hard, but not like that with his heavy weights anymore. Muscles can handle it. Joints can't. But I know that. So what are they going to do? I mean, I want to go out with my boots on, for heaven's sakes. I don't want to go out in some nursing home having to have my diapers changed. I mean, God, how awful is that? So, whatever. I mean, let them do whatever they're going to do. That's all I've got to say. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Amen and amen. That's all I've got to say. Yeshua can take care of all of us. He's there for all of us. And we're in covenant through God, to God, through him, through the Holy Spirit. So that's it. My little prayer, my little preaching there, Austin. Wait, what's your next story?
And one thing I want to address, too, is I want to convey this to people and, you know, with friends and family, to really, you know, encourage them to do it better with their health and diet. I was talking to a customer the other day on the phone, and you know, she was talking to me about a friend they had that was on insulin and stuff like that. And I said, the biggest thing you guys have to understand is that if we all want to, you know, go out doing the best we can with our boots on, really, you know, the fighting the good fight here, I said, people have to understand that they need to be self-sufficient and not completely medicated. We're the most medicated country in the world. Do you understand what's going to happen if the power goes out and you can't keep insulin refrigerated? That's just simple question. What happens? Yeah. Insulin goes bad. Means you end up going into a diabetic coma if you're hooked on insulin. That's just a simple fact. That's not even me being negative or nothing. So people need to understand this, that there's options you can do to get your blood sugar under control.
Also, this is all, the options are only available for adult onset diabetes, type 2 diabetes. The regular insulin type 1 diabetes, the only research that I've seen has had any indication of being responsive to that is black seed oil, BLACK.
Yeah.
But we're not making any claims on that. I mean, I worked with many medical doctors as a nutritionist back in the 80s and trying to help their patients as far as reducing the requirement for insulin as adult for type 1 diabetes. We could never figure out how to do it. And so they say from a scientific standpoint, it's not possible yet, but the adult onset diabetes, the type 2 diabetes, the problem with the main thing with that is there's usually a bunch of insulin already in the system. The body can't use it. It can't get into the cells. That's why that blood sugar protocol works so well. And changing your diet. You got to get off of juices. You got to get off of dried fruits. You got to get off of white potatoes. You got to get off of really high glycemic starches, because those types of things that go to sugar really quickly overwhelm the body. And you got to get your body to utilize the enzyme. It's also called Syndrome X. I mean, that's what the cinnamon extract that we do. It helps the body to utilize the insulin that it already produces more effectively, combined with dietary change, does a great job in helping to maintain healthy blood sugar. But Austin's absolutely right. What are you going to do if you're an adult onset diabetic and you got to take your shots every single day and you don't know what to do and you're eating junk every single day, and the power goes out and your insulin goes bad? You're done. It's over within a couple of days. It's finished. It's over. You're completed. It's finished. So you can't do that, guys. Do everything you possibly can to work with your doctor right now where you live and coming and changing your diet. You know, we can tell you what to do as far as supplements. We can give you some dietary suggestions, but don't start reducing your insulin unless you talk to him and get suggestions on how to do that, and only if your blood sugar starts to get under control. But because we can't be involved in telling you to stop taking prescription meds.
No, absolutely. And also the same thing goes for metformin and all those other medications. Talk to your doctor about them as far
That's
as
right.
other options. Or about reducing the medication, because those are just other things you really don't need to be on.
Well, guys, I feel pretty good tonight, so I'll probably be back on with you guys tomorrow night. So we love you. Thank you for listening to Austin and Sharon, and thank you for listening to the Ted and Austin Brower Show, and thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. I appreciate you, and I love you, and I thank you for being there for us, and we're here for you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yep, we appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, give us a call or email us. We'll be back on the show again tomorrow. Hopefully I can get Dad back on there. He seems like he's got pretty good service right now with his phone system over there. So, yeah, we appreciate it. You guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.